Track 6, 10 Minutes With. This week's interview is on the Broadhouse Farm and Nursery based in Kidderminster.
The farmhouse itself was built in 1759, but it didn't look as it does now. We have some barns along the edge which are over 400 years old with a very wavy roof. We wondered whether it was actually going to stay up at one stage, but they have assured us that it's very strong and sturdy now. At the end of the barn, we have the original one up and one down. This wasn't actually known as Broadhouse Farm Nurseries. This was known as The Broad. And up on the big maps in the church, this whole area was known as The Broad. Hence, the alley is Broad Alley. We have an area across the main road, which is Broad Mead. We have Broad Common. So all the areas around here were actually named after this farm, which was The Broad. I've been down to the archives in Worcester trying to trace out the old history, but I haven't been able to find anything, you know, I haven't been very successful. So if anybody's got any time on their hands and want to delve into the old history, they're more than welcome. The house we've had to do up gradually through the years. It was in quite a rundown state. The people that were here beforehand were real farmers and had to put a lot of time into the land. We bought the 7.5 acres, and as you can see, there was absolutely nothing here except fields and just a few orchards. So we started to work and cut ourselves out of our garden and did as much work on the house as possible. We've had to rewire it, put new water system in, etc. The whole house inside was painted blue. Bright blue inside and out, walls, paintwork, you name it, painted blue. So if you chip anything off now, we've got blue paint underneath. The beams in the lounge had been papered over, so we've had to strip all that off. There were 5 fireplaces in front of the lovely ingle nook that we have in the lounge. As they didn't like a fireplace, they just blocked it off and built another one in front, and so on, till it came right out into the room, and we have a nice modern tiled one right out where the rugs are now. We're actually a Grade 2 listed building, so we have to be very careful of anything we do. But the house was re-skinned just before we had it. They put a new layer of bricks all the way around it, and they put a new roof on and out onto the outside layer, but we've actually had to have it underpinned because it still did judder in a good wind, and we found out why when we dug some exploratory holes. We found that the old foundations just came out a brick at a time and were only about 2 feet deep, and they levelled it off with concrete, built this 3-storey new brick wall, put the weight of the roof out on the outside walls. So we've had 5 dry summers and we're on solid clay, so the substratas dried out and cracked, and the house was starting to drop and break its back. So now we have 12 feet of concrete poured in all the way down, all the way round. So we lost the front doorsteps and all my plants and shrubs. So it wasn't really my fault that we had to build that little conservatory on the end there.
Can I ask you, was everything insured?
Oh, yes. When we came to be doing up the house, the garden was the last thing to do, but we used it for the stock fields. And originally, we used to plant all the things that my husband needed on the nursery. And I'm a flower arranger, and he's a nurseryman, so we used to have this conflict. We had square bushes, and I had nothing to cut at when I came to do flower arranging. Yeah. So, but we've sorted that out now, but he will explain that a little later.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Miller. Now, can I ask you, Mr. Miller, tell us why, how, and when you started your business, and of the processes and many problems involved in raising the cuttings.
Well, we started the nursery here in 1978. Previous to that, we started in my partner's back garden. Before that, I worked for a big company in Worcestershire where I was sales director. And I was sales director of a large nursery in Worcestershire where I was responsible for the quotations and supply of plant material to local authorities. And on those quotations in those days, there were lots and lots of young plants being requested. And at this particular time in England, they weren't being grown. We were importing them from Holland. My partner and I got our heads together and thought it's time we started to grow these, to produce them for the local authorities who wanted to buy them. So we started in his back garden producing about 12,000 cuttings a year for two years. By that time we had outgrown the back garden and we moved to Broadhouse Farm, which we purchased in 1978. And we started with 5 polythene houses and took the production up to about 20,000 cuttings in the first year, which we sold on contract to a local authority, and gradually built the business up from that stage. We now have a total of 12 hectares or 24 acres, of which half is under plastic or glasshouse cover. And we start taking cuttings for the production in our year's cycle in the beginning of June. We're taking 1.5 million cuttings to date, and we are producing about 600,000 saleable plants in 1 year and 400,000 young plants each year. And these are sold to the landscape industry throughout the country, marketing the plants from the borders of Scotland right down to the Kent coast. And some go across to France and to Southern Ireland. Now the cuttings we first take are the deciduous ones. They're rooted in a mixture of peat and bark, and we don't use any hormone powder in the June-July period. Then when we get towards winter, September time, we start on the evergreens and we use Ceridix 1, 2 or 3 to root these cuttings. They're rooted on a heated sand base, which is heated to a temperature of 65 degrees, and this is maintained thermostatically. Once the cuttings are rooted, they're moved off into a cool greenhouse, which is frost protected, and they remain there until February of the following year, and then they're potted into a 9 centimetre or 3.5 inch pot in a peat sand compost with a plastic coated fertiliser known as a slow release fertilizer added to that particular compost. They're in 9 centimeter pots for 1 year, and then we move them on from that size pot into a 2 liter or 3 liter pot where they grow for another year until they're sold. So it takes us 3 years from the time we take a cutting to the time we sell it. So it's a very slow process in producing the plants for sale. During the whole of that time, they have to be maintained 7 days a week, virtually 24 hours a day, either under protection or outside, where they have to have irrigation to maintain them at a moist condition so the plant can carry on growing, pruning where necessary to make them branch out, and staking and caning and weeding if we get weed infestations in the particular plants. Now all of these cuttings come from our mother plants, and we have 4 acres of mother plants, and the cuttings are brought down to the nursery here at Cutnell Green, where where we have 7 staff who prepare them for insertion into trays. Each tray holds 120 cuttings, up to 220, depending on the size of the cutting. The staff here are expected to turn out 2,000 cuttings per person per day in a 7.5 hour day. And when they're rooted and they move on to the potters, we grade all our cuttings so we get a uniform plant. And I have said we take 1.5 million cuttings here a year. We only hope to pot up about 1 million cuttings. A third, you may think, is an awful loss, but this occurs through grading and non-rooting of plants, because we can only afford to pot up the best quality cutting.